Leading off with a big story of the day, here's The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
Who win it now?
How do the experts forecast the Denver Broncos to perform in 2024? We were just talking about a sports gambling story with Michael Porter Jr.'s brother, Jontay Porter. He's under investigation. Shohei Ohtani. How deep does Major League Baseball want to dig into that one?
Not too deep.
Yeah.
Not too deep.
Have you ever seen the movie The Town with Ben Affleck? And it's about the, they're like, it's like organized crime in Boston. Who's the other actor in that?
I don't think I've seen that one.
Is it like Jennifer Gardner or something? 2010 film. It's really good. It's really good. And you know, they dress up as nuns and they rob banks and all this stuff. It's not Jennifer Gardner. I'm forgetting who it was.
Is it Rebecca Hall?
Yes, okay. It was John Hamm, who crushed it with. What was that show, John Hamm, the old-timer show from the 50s? You guys aren't with me here. What's that old show that that John Hamm was the star of?
I'm sorry, that was a little bit before my time.
No, dude, it's Mad Men. Goodness, you guys are good for nothing here. Mad Men.
That's
John Hamm, Jeremy Renner. Anyway, Blake Lively, might have heard of her. There's this scene in The Town where they're robbing of some bank or whatever, and they are like gadded up like AK-47s, and they have the nun masks on, and a cop sees them, and he's just at a light, and he's like literally eating a donut, of course, right? They have him eating a donut, and the cop looks over at them and he sees them, and he just turns his head the other way. Like slowly turns his head the other way. Like, I see that, and I want no part of that because I want to go home. And who knows how many times that happens around the country?
Oh yeah.
With just like, you know, I'm not picking that battle today. But I wonder if Major League Baseball looks at that situation and goes, and turns their head.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna try to dig too deep into this situation because Ohtani is the face of the MLB at this point.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where if it wasn't Ohtani, it would be a Porter situation.
Yeah.
They're going into it, trying to dissect every single thing that's going on with the betting situation. Not with Ohtani, especially with him just now getting that big-time contract and people wanting to see him on the Dodgers. It's going to be a slap on the wrist.
Yeah,
on the wrist.
Yeah, you know, it may be. Okay, we're shifting gears from that. How do the experts forecast the Broncos to be in 2024? And why Sean Payton needs multiple plans at quarterback next month if what we're hearing comes true. Let's talk about the first things first. All right, the win totals are already out. And I mentioned the sports gambling we got back in the Ohtani stuff because someone like DraftKings, who Jontay Porter was allegedly betting through, has already released the win totals for next year. Now, the draft still needs to happen, so it's an incomplete vision. But you kind of know enough about these teams, what the roster is going to look like, and you know how often do rookies flip a season? Like C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson, it's pretty rare.
Especially with Denver. Denver only has 6 picks.
Yes.
So you know they'll be able to forecast that one. You know, way better than a team that has 14 picks.
So KJ.
They got eight.
Yes.
You're right.
Good call, KJ.
Jimmy Judy. Thank you, Jimmy Judy. Now we got two more draft picks, baby.
Oh, okay. My gosh.
Okay, now we're playing with a little bit of grease. You know, we got a little grease in there.
All right. Well, the highest win totals forecasted for the 2024 season is the 49ers, the Ravens, and the Kansas City Chiefs. Their win totals have all been set at 11.5. All right, you got a 17-game schedule. So, and I know people are new to this, so just to reset, 11.5 wins. If you win 12 and you go 12-5, you hit the over.
Yeah.
Because you won more than an 11.5 wins. They do it 11.5 because there's got to be a winner and a loser. All right? If you go 11-6, the under hits. If you win 10, the under hits. 9, the under hits. So it goes like that. Their win totals have been set at 11.5, Niners, Ravens, and Kansas City. So your usual suspects. Phil, you got to go down near the bottom to find the name Denver Broncos. Their over-under win total has been set.
Can I guess on this?
I'm deciding how much do I trust you and have you looked at the rundown, because you normally do a pretty decent job of looking at the rundown.
I usually look at it, but you know what? I'm not going to guess.
Okay. Because it's 5.5.
Okay.
5.5.
I would have said 6.
Okay. So, if you're a gambler and you, that's what you think it is, you would bet the over on this if you think the Broncos are going to win 6 games. Do you think it's fair? Do you think that's around fair?
Yeah. I mean, look, we're supposed to be in a rebuild, right? That's what you're saying. And I know people hate me saying that. I know you hate me saying that. And I think Greg Penner went out on a limb saying this is not going to be a rebuild either. I don't think he likes that word. But we're getting the house out. You got rid of Justin Simmons. You got rid of Russell Wilson. You don't have a lot of money. You don't have a lot of draft picks. We got 8 now.
Yep.
It's reasonable.
Traded Judy. Yep.
So you're looking at a team that's trying to get a little younger. We don't have a quarterback. All right, Jared Stidham is our quarterback at this time.
Yes.
So 5 games is reasonable.
That's wild. The Denver Broncos.
What would you have thought?
Right around here, honestly. Okay. It's just the realization of, like, this is where we are.
Yeah.
You know, this is just currently where we're at, because, you know, it's tied with the Tennessee Titans for the second lowest. This is, guys, here's the truth. The Broncos and Rockies have more in common than we would like to believe. We just talked about the power rankings. Where were the Rockies out of 30 teams? They're 29th. You have 32 teams in the NFL. Only the Panthers and Patriots have a lower win total at 4.5. So it's the second lowest win total in the entire sport. It's so disheartening. Now, what you hope is that big picture, it's moving in the right direction. You go through a short-term pain.
And we've talked about it. We talked about this year, if this is the case, when we're watching these games, like, are we getting better? Every single game, are we getting better? And next year, is it looking like we're going to turn things around? Like, all these young players and the players that have, you know, fit this quote-unquote system of Sean's, all the pieces are falling together for us in the future to be looking at 8, 9, 10 games, right?
Winning games every year,
winning more games, winning more games than 5 for next year.
Yeah, and that's the hope. But it's just like, Damn. Dude, year over year, you know who has the biggest drop-off in the entire NFL with their forecast from last year at this time when they did this? Their forecast from last year to this year, it's the Broncos. The Broncos have a 3-game drop. This time last year when this came out, the Broncos' number was 8.5, and it's now at 5.5. And again, I can deal with it. I've already, as long as this thing is heading in the right direction, and if you got to bottom out to get there, I don't think that's the plan.
Well, you're saying you can deal with it, and you're saying if we're moving in the right direction, but say Jared Stidham is the quarterback.
Yeah.
Then can you deal with it?
Man, he would have to ball out, and you're way overachieving. But if Jared Stidham is the quarterback, My criticism of Sean Payton, the volume on it, is going to get cranked up.
Yeah.
If you're flirting with this number, 5-6 wins, because, you know, and I'm going to contradict myself. I'm saying I'm okay with it. But am I, though? Because you, Sean Payton, you took the largest dead cap in NFL history, times 2, because you actually thought it gave you a better chance to win.
Yeah.
So if you go with Stidham and not a young quarterback and you don't win, my criticism of Sean Payton is going to be pretty pointed.
Well, it comes down to this. Is it fair to criticize someone like Sean Payton when Sean Payton is trying to get the house out, figure out what he's going to do at the quarterback position? Like, is it fair to put a lot of blame on Sean at this, like, right now? Or should we wait to see what happens in the draft?
Yeah.
And then say, okay, Sean, if you don't go and get that quarterback, if you don't move up and get that quarterback, then now my patience is running thin with you, because last year you talked about this being a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
This year, we're thinking that you're going to move up to get a quarterback. You don't end up doing that. You think that Stidham is the guy, and now we're sitting here for another year, only winning 5 games.
Yes.
That's going to be the issue.
It will be. It will be, because there'll be no – when you get a young quarterback, it creates hope, and maybe it's a trap, but it does create hope, and we'll be more graceful with our criticism if the Broncos struggle. Because if you draft a quarterback, I don't care if he's number one. Like, you can expect to go through some – you got to remember, interception record still belongs to Peyton.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't care if you're Trevor Lawrence or Andrew Luck and you're heralded as a can't miss, there's going to be bumps in the road. But if you turn down that opportunity and you go with a veteran quarterback, 27-year-old Jared Stidham, you should be held to a higher standard, because this is your plan and it was a better plan than the 8-9. Like, Broncos actually won more games this past year than they have in years.
No, for sure. They've made a jump. You know, in the grand scheme of things, when you look at what Sean Payton did last year.
Yes.
Right? They were one game away from being in the playoffs.
Yes.
They beat the Kansas City Chiefs. They found a way to beat the Buffalo Bills, you know, with a 12th play, a 12th man.
Yep. In Buffalo.
But he did it.
Yep.
So there's a lot of good things, like small victories that came out of last year. But like Sean said, you're starting over with a whole different team.
Yes.
With a bunch of younger players. All right? You got rid of Jerry Jeudy. All right, you don't have a quarterback. Stidham has not played enough. He's still a rookie.
Yeah, 4 games total. Yeah, sure.
And so now you're taking another step back. Now you're only supposed to win 5 games this year. And so, yeah, it sucks. It sucks to be in a situation where you got the Colorado Rockies sitting here almost dead last. You got the Denver Broncos sitting here almost dead last. And we're trying to figure out a way to get out of this.
Yeah, and I think the quickest avenue to get this thing right is to solve the quarterback position, which the Broncos have been trying for years. If they're in this spot where it's like the doldrums, where you're picking at 12 and you can't get one of the top guys, and if you can't get up, and we're rolling with Stidham, and it's like Ben DiNucci, Jarrett Stidham, and Ryan Tannehill, you're not going to be able to grasp enough hope, big picture for the future. Whereas if you do find a way to get one of these quarterbacks because you're in love with them, at least we can talk ourselves into, this is Sean Payton's guy, he's in love with him, and big picture, we have to trust this process. But, I mean, if you go with a young quarterback, you could be looking at a 5 or 6 win season realistically anyway. If you go with Jared Stidham, I think 5 or 6 wins is equally as realistic. But it's like...
No, if Jared Stidham's the quarterback, Zach, I'm looking for us to win at least 7 to 8 games. Truly, I'm looking for us to win 7 or 8 games, because Stidham has been in this offense, has had a year in this system.
Yep.
All right? Stidham is confident enough to say that he wants to be the starting quarterback. Sean Payton's confident enough to put him as the starting quarterback, and it's about winning games. Nobody wants to sit around and wait 2-3 years to be good. We've been doing that for 8 years.
Yeah.
And so by you putting Stidham as a starting quarterback, you're telling us that you're going to be 7-8, maybe a game away from the playoffs yet again, or maybe you find a way to get into the playoffs, because they're not losing as many players as people think. They still have a couple pieces there
on
the defensive side of the ball. We're going to have to lean on the defense at this.
And offensively, according to Mike Clay of ESPN, you have a top 10 offensive line. You could argue that is the most fundamental, like that in the D-line, it's the most fundamental position you need to, you know.
Especially at the quarterback position.
Yes.
You know, with a top 10 line, you should be able to sit back there, process the field, have a little bit of timing, rhythm, everything that Sean's looking for. You have the offensive linemen to do it. You know, you're top 10. Can Jared Stidham do that? Can that young rookie do that? That's what we want to see.
Yeah, and we talked about this a little bit last week. It's like, you know, they came out with the positional rankings and stuff, and Mike Clay does a great job with it every year and grades every player, which then grades every unit, and then you grade every side of the ball, then ultimately grade a roster. And the Broncos were near the bottom, but the one bright spot was the offensive line. Doesn't matter if it's Stidham in 2024 or a rookie quarterback. you know, we went back and forth with the questions. Like, would you rather have a top 10, you know, skill position and a terrible offensive line? Or would you rather have a top 10 offensive line and some lackluster skill positions? And we both agree. It's the brick and mortar. It's the offensive line. So although this roster has a long way to go, they have a fundamental box checked that...
A big one.
It is. It's huge. So we'll see. And when I say, Phil, that Sean Payton needs multiple plans at quarterback next month, man, this is wild if this is true. We don't know if it's true. We don't know what's true this time of year. But it is a twist in the road when Tom Pelissero goes on NFL Network yesterday and says this.
Really interesting because everybody's always trying to figure out, this graph, what the other teams are doing. When I've had conversations here with executives for other teams who know Adam Peters well, know the situation well, the most popular answer for what they do at number two is J.J. McCarthy. So a lot of drama still to come.
Dude, we were laughing at Jim Harbaugh when he was going over the top like a WWE spokesman, like Paul Heyman, like speaking on behalf of Brock Lesnar, like, this is the greatest ever. And he's like, this is my quarterback's the greatest ever, and he's, you know, greatest pro day, and he's going to be picked number one once we get through the process. He might not be number one, but he may be number two.
Man, it's crazy how a coach has so much power where it seems like it's not all on him. I think people are going back and watching film, doing their homework, and seeing that J.J. McCarthy is a better quarterback than what people thought at the beginning. Or he may not be. We don't know yet. You know, he has to be put into the fire, go through some situations where we're like, okay, this quarterback is going to be a good quarterback. J.J. McCarthy is going to be a good quarterback. But, yeah, it helps when Jim Harbaugh goes out on a limb multiple times to say that you should be the number one quarterback off the board.
Yeah.
So number two being right there, that's very realistic, you know.
It is.
In this case.
It is.
So then what happens for Denver now?
See, that's the thing.
Going on?
If Sean loves J.J., this goes to, we may not know the answer to the test until draft night. This goes back to our question yesterday. Can you move up with the idea that you can love more than one quarterback? Mm. And it's hanging there. It's just hanging there. If something like this is true, and even if it's the Patriots having a change of heart and taking J.J. at three, doesn't have to be two, it's just absolutely wild.
The only place that the Denver Broncos can move up to is the Arizona Cardinals, because the Patriots are not going to move up. They need a quarterback.
Yep, they need a quarterback.
Down,
yep.
Right? The Bears aren't.
Nope.
Okay? And the Commanders aren't.
Nope. They're all taking quarterbacks. Why would they trade out of it?
It's messy, man.
Yeah, it could. And it's one of these things where it's like you could have all the right intentions. Your evaluation could be on point, and you know, you believe in your heart of hearts that this guy has the goods. He can, he passes the Lombardi test. Maybe Sean Payton closes his eyes and can see J.J. McCarthy raising a Lombardi trophy in 2029.
Yeah.
But you might not be able to get there. Just an impossibility. And there's no ransom big enough for Kings that will allow you to move up. Acting like that could not be the case is totally naive to where the Broncos are right now. It's just naive. That could be the legitimate landscape of this conversation.
Well, this is the thing. Sean Payton doesn't like rookie quarterbacks. He finally likes one, or loves one, in J.J. McCarthy, if that's the case. He doesn't get to have him. The quarterback he decides to pick, he may not have the same patience as he will with someone like J.J. McCarthy, because he believes so much into J.J. McCarthy. And I think that's why Jarrett Stidham is sitting there looking a lot better to someone like Sean, because it's like, we may not get J.J. McCarthy now, y'all. So we need to start putting all our, you know, a little bit more eggs, a couple more of our eggs in Jarrett Stidham's basket, and hoping that he comes around and he starts to develop how we think and how I thought he should be developing.
It's crazy. It's crazy. That's where we may be at. That's where we may be at. And it's not like, it's not being like a fear monger or trying to create like drama.
No.
It's looking at the situation, removing the emotion from it, and just looking at it for what it is. You may want to move up all you want. You need a trade partner. And I thought Mark Schlereth made a great point this morning, is that the Broncos, they have some draft picks in the future, but they don't have immediate draft capital. Mm. They don't have multiple picks this year.
Yeah.
And why I think that's super relevant, and it's a great point by Stink, is that, and we talked about this recently with the lack of development in quarterbacks, you're seeing quarterbacks get less developed because these operations have 2 years to win, and that's it. So if you get an offer from Minnesota and you get an offer from Denver, Minnesota's is better because you get multiple picks sooner.
Yeah, like right
now. You have to wait. And if you and if you're a part of that administration that goes down the Broncos road, the next coach might be using the picks that you just traded for.
Mm.
So these are real big boy conversations here, and they're uncomfortable to have because we want the Broncos to be good. We want them to get out of the mud. But they may not have...
Or just a starting.
Yeah.
A starting point.
Yes.
Like, we want to know who the quarterback is going to be. And it's going to suck if we think it's J.J. McCarthy and it ends up not being because if we couldn't get to him. And now we're just settling for the next best option that Sean thinks is the next best option. It's like, are we really going anywhere now?
Right.
Or are we going to be back here next year talking about, we need to go get Shedeur Sanders.
And guess what, dude? The Broncos aren't on their list.
Oh!
And we'll talk about that in about a half hour. So, hey, could you imagine? Could you imagine? Hey, you want me to fearmonger, paint a bad picture? Broncos stink. Can't move up for a quarterback. They stink this year with Jared Stidham. You have the top pick, and you want Shedeur Sanders, and they say no. That's painting a bad picture.
Oh, that would not go good.
No.
I don't even want to think about it because we're going to get our quarterback this draft.
There you go.
J.J. McCarthy, huh?
Yes, that's right. Everything's fine. Everything's going to be okay. All right. The NBA is not going to be okay with a decision the NFL made earlier today. We'll tell you why next. Oh, let's come off the top rope with it.
One.
All right. The NBA is not going to be happy with the decision the NFL made today, but all is fair in love and ratings. The NFL, again, we'll have Christmas Day games this season, which this is a day that the NBA capitalized on and really would have games from start to finish, and they kind of own the day. And the NFL's like, actually, big bank take little bank. We need that.
We're taking it.
We need that.
We're taking it, little man.
And then they kill the NBA in ratings because the NFL sits on the throne of American sports.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. But come on. This is a copycat. I'm not going to say league. It's a copycat society. So if it's working for the NBA, the NFL at some point is going to sit here and say, well, I want to adopt that too because I want to make more money than you guys are.
Right. Always on the search for more.
Always.
Always on the search for more. But I will
never
say,
enough.
I will say this, though. It kind of, I don't know.
Did you like it? Did you like it this year having the Denver Broncos? It was the day before,
no,
right?
No. I did not like the Broncos.
Oh, you didn't?
It was a Christmas Eve, was it?
I think it was.
I think against the Patriots, right? And I didn't like it. I do not. That there's only a few days that I think are sacred for, like, family time and, like, traditions. And,
yeah.
And maybe someone will hear me, like, oh, you're soft. I just like Christmas to be Christmas.
Just Christmas movies.
Christmas movies, exactly. Or if I want to watch an NBA game. But when they put the Broncos there, it's like, I can't not watch this. And then it just takes a foothold on a part of the day. I didn't like it personally.
I see where it's going. It messes with your NBA time.
I do. It does mess with my NBA time. But the NBA, I feel like it's more casual. NFL games are so important because there's only 17 of them. So I'm locked in when the Broncos play. I'm just locked in. And I personally don't like it, and I hope that the Broncos avoid this. What do you think about NFL games on Christmas Day?
For the players, it sucks. It truly does because you're not going to be home for Christmas probably. And if you are, it's going to be, you know, later on.
Yeah.
Christmas Eve, you're not going to be with your family because you're out there playing.
Yep.
And so you don't get to have that moment with your family to just enjoy Christmas because you're at work. Daddy got to go to work that whole entire week.
Sure.
And then fly out. Hopefully it's a home game.
Right, right.
You know, but it may not be. And then you're coming home. Santa Claus has to put the presents by the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Little kids wake up. And you just have that one little moment, then you're back to work.
Yeah.
So, as a player, I don't like it, but as a fan, it gives you something to do, right? You know, like you said, football is the king of sports, and you want to see something like football on there. As a young little kid, I used to be wanting an NFL game to be on just because I wanted to watch some football.
Sure.
And now you get to do it.
Kamaje, thumbs up or thumbs down for football on Christmas?
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Yep.
Drew?
two enormous thumbs down. I hate everything about this.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. Like it's one thing if Christmas is like on a Sunday or even a Saturday. It's on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And the NFL's just going to take over.
Also, let the NBA have their day, man. Like,
okay,
like,
Drew, what if a hockey game was on?
I'd say the same thing.
And is it for some of the reasons that I had?
Yes.
Okay.
It's exactly those reasons.
Well, actually, to your point, Drew, that's the exact reason why, because it pisses the NBA off. And it's like, hey, we're in competition. We're not in cahoots.
Yeah, they don't owe it to the NBA. I don't know. Hey, not the end of the world. Guess what? Here's the bottom line. I'll probably be watching these games. I say I don't like it, and they'll put them on, and I'll be like, we're shutting off the Grinch. Daddy's a Grinch. Daddy needs a spread to cover.
Daddy's the Grinch.
All right.
One, two.
Oh, Nico Medved. Head coach at Colorado State on the men's side. Went to the tournament two of the last 3 years. He is up for the Oklahoma State job. There's a couple of the candidates as well. Steve Alford, Bryce Drew. College basketball fans know those names. But Nico Medved may have coached his final game for the Rams. Do you think he gets this job at Oklahoma State? And of course, I'm asking to speculate.
Yeah, I do. Him and Tad are going to be seeing each other a lot more.
Could you imagine?
Because I can't get rid of you. Yeah, I think that Nico Medved wants a better opportunity, more money, I don't want to say a better conference, Zach, because the Mountain West was good this year.
It was fantastic, yeah.
You know, but it's a tough, you know, Big 12 is a tough conference.
Big 12 is number one, my friend.
So why would you not? That's what it's about, opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. Man. I want him to stay for Colorado State, but if he gets that job, you got to go. If you have an opportunity to go to the best college basketball conference in America, you go. And that's the downside. But it's like one of those things, you borrow a tool from your neighbor and you want to bring it back to him in better shape than you found it.
Yeah.
It's like he would return Colorado State in better shape than he found it.
He did.
And that's a good thing.
He did, because he's done.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
One, two, three!
All right, Colorado Avalanche have inked Justus Onanen to a 2-year extension.
Uh-oh! Money bags!
You know, well, yeah, definitely for regular people, all right? In terms of pro sports, it is amazing to me. Like, he gets this new deal. It's for $833,000. That's like, I don't think, like, there's no one on the Nuggets who makes that amount. Like, that's like, that is NFL couch cushion money, but it's good for the Avs. It's good for Onanen. And I just think it's a good day.
Oh, it's a great day. I mean, he's getting a raise. I think it's a $60,000 raise. How could you not like that?
Love it.
He's the backup goalie. Okay. He has, at this point, he's been doing really, really well, but he has a lot more room for improvement and growth, and he's young.
Yeah.
So he can go out there, do well for next year and, you know, throughout his contract, and re-up on it and get him a couple mil after that.
Sure, sure. That'd be great. That'd be best case.
That's the plan.
That'd be best case for both parties, because if he's ever doing that, then he's playing very good hockey for the Avs. So, okay. Look, I think this is a good thing. He was scheduled to be a restricted free agent at the end of the season. They get out in front of it. All good. Hey, I got to squeeze one more in. I know we do three at the three count, but this deserves a fourth down. Your boy Russ dropped another hype video. Another one. I know he just released one last week, but it's a new week, you know? And so he's in the gym. He's wearing a Steelers shirt. He's got all black and yellow, or black and gold, if you ask him. And he's got Steelers like legends on it. So he might have learned his lesson after wearing his own jersey here in Denver, which is one of the most interesting moves of all time. And, but it didn't stop from rocking some sunglasses inside, man. He's wearing sunglasses in the gym. Help me out.
Russ, I can't keep defending you, Russ. I can't keep doing it. Because it's starting to piss me off.
Right?
Like, why are you wearing sunglasses while you're lifting weights?
Oh, my God.
That's a safety hazard.
Dude, right?
Like, what are we doing here? And I ask the question, like, what goes through people's heads sometimes? And for us, it's like, you know, it pisses people off. And maybe that's why you're doing it. But it's just so corny. This part right here is corny.
See, Phil, this is what I just had a year head start on you.
I don't need you co-signing, Zach.
You're all right. You're going to end up right with me looking at all these antics saying, what is he thinking? Who wears sunglasses inside while they're lifting? No one else in the gym is doing. No. It's a serious question. You go to your local gym. And you see someone across my thoughts on Russell Wilson. That dude is so hateable to me. I'm sorry. I can't. It's just like. It's
unlimited.
And it's such a library of stuff. It's not one thing, because I don't think you should overreact to one thing. But I have a library of Russell Wilson stuff. And it's just like, dude, this guy is so cringeworthy, man. I just can't.
I don't run from it. I look forward to it.
I'm going
to
start wearing my glasses in here.
Dude, do it.
It's bright in here.
You know what? And maybe that's what it was. Like, maybe there was just a glare from the skylight that was right where he was on that surfboard that he
Come
was
on, Justin
with the medicine
Fields.
Ball.
Come on, Justin Fields. Dude. Justin's looking at this video and like, oh yeah, I got him.
Did you see what was that he was on? It's like a balance thing, right?
It's a balance thing. A lot of players do it. You know, it helps the core.
Sure.
Balance. Alvin Kamara does a lot of it.
Okay.
You know, Alvin Kamara is one of the best running backs when it comes to being balanced and breaking tackles.
Sure.
So there's, you know, the reasons to why they do what they do, but wearing glasses, sunglasses at that?
It's too much, dude. It's just too much.
That chill of the trophy, it's coming.
I want to feel the chill of that trophy. Two of the next five.
For the next 5 years, I want to win two.
All right.
I want to feel the chill of that trophy again.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Deion Sanders gave a list of teams for his son and Travis Hunter to play for next season. And guess who didn't make the cut? That's coming up next.
For me, it's about winning.
What?
On your mark, ready, set, let's go. Dance floor pro, I know, you know, I go psycho when my new joint hit. Just can't sit. Gotta get
all right, Deion Sanders gave a list of teams for his son and Travis Hunter to play for next season. Guess who didn't make the cut? The Denver Broncos. Holy smokes, this has multiple layers to it.
Denver can't catch a break ever, huh?
Well, I don't even know what to make of this, so I want to talk it through with you.
Yeah.
So Deion Sanders goes on a podcast and talks about, hey, we're going to pull Eli. We're not just playing for anyone.
Mm.
And I already have destinations picked out. It's like, okay, well, now we have the destinations. Atlanta, Washington, Dallas, Baltimore, San Francisco. Those are the five destinations.
Now that's for both of them, right? Travis and Shore?
That's where my head goes, because that's kind of how he framed it. He was talking about those two specifically.
Yeah.
And was super, super specific with it. Like, whoever goes number one, the other one's not going to get past four.
Yeah.
And we're not just going to sign up for whoever wants to draft us. We're going to pull an Eli. Because
Baltimore doesn't make sense for Shador.
No.
So it has to be with Travis in his head.
Which one of these locations do you think makes the most sense for Shador Sanders?
Dallas Cowboys. Everything is starting to come to the light. The writing is on the wall with this situation as well. All right, I think today we all found out that I don't think there's going to be a contract negotiation going on with Dak Prescott and Jerry Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So this may be.
Which we got to put a pin in that and circle back
we do.
To it, because it's relevant.
We do.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then Dak will not be there next year.
Right.
Shador's coming out next year. Shador has ties there because his father played with the Dallas Cowboys and he's really good friends with Jerry Jones. We don't know how well Dallas is going to play this year because they didn't go out to the free agency and buy anybody else to help them out. We don't know what they're going to get in the draft. Now, they do still have talent. They're going to be able to win because it's the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. But are they going to get over the hump? Probably not, and that's why Dak's not going to be there. But Shador can slip in there in Dallas where everything is just a little bit bigger.
Mm. You want to know what all these teams have in common? Atlanta, Washington, Dallas, Baltimore, San Francisco? They're teams that Deion played for. What are we doing? He begins his career in Atlanta.
Yep.
In his later 20s, he did a year in San Francisco. Then he transitions to Dallas. Then he transitioned in his early 30s to Washington. And then he finished up with Baltimore. 5 for 5.
But these teams, a lot of these teams are winning organizations. They're not going to be there the first pick of the draft.
Right.
You know, unless one of them just goes off the rails and doesn't do well, Baltimore's going to, you know, has the odds to go into the Super Bowl yet again. Okay, the 49ers are supposed to go again. Who else is on there? Dallas. Dallas is always winning games. They're always in the playoffs. So nobody that is being listed here, you know, is going to be able to pick up that number one spot if Shador's supposed to be the number one quarterback coming off the board.
But that goes back to the we're pulling an Eli. Like, just because we're number one, we're actually going to pick you. You're not picking us. We're picking you.
But don't you lose money like that? Wouldn't you lose money?
Yeah. 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 Pretty much. Unless you just have it in your head like, hey, just so you know, we're not playing it down for you. And then they can maybe make a trade after they pick you to where you want to go. Yeah. I don't know how it's going to work. Or maybe they do the trade before the draft so that they can switch. I don't know. I don't think this is good for Shador, Phil. I don't think this is good. I don't think this is good for either.
You don't?
No.
You think it's a distraction?
I think it's a distraction, and I think it's nearsighted and not well-informed enough. Like, that out of the 32 teams, there's just five, and some of them just don't make sense, and the five teams all sync up with where you played in your five stops. Yeah. I just think he's not... I think him announcing this like this is not doing any favors for his son. I think they're both going to be fine. They're both going to be millionaires and play pro ball. But a year in advance, I just don't know what the upside is to... is to this. I just don't know.
Yeah, I mean, look, Eli was able to do it. His father obviously had a plan in his head, and that's why they were able to do what they were able to do. So I'm not mad at Coach Prime for doing what he's doing with this situation with his son. But I don't know why you would go out and say it right now when things, you know, you haven't even played your last year.
Right.
You guys haven't even won five games yet.
Right.
And we do know Shador is going to be good, and he's going to be drafted in the first round if he can stay healthy.
No question.
Like we do.
Yep.
You know, so I'm not.
I just don't know what it's helping.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to be some sort of big deal a year from now. I just don't know the good it does. Because there's 27 other teams who may want to draft your son.
I just think it's attention.
Yeah.
It just brings more attention. Look, we're talking about it.
Yeah, no, true.
You know, it's
very
just
true.
Bringing more very attention true. To his son, which he likes. Though the question one of these days we're going to have to get into, Zach, is his son, you know, was on the podium and saying how...
I have it here. Let's do it right now.
Yeah, let's do it.
This is Shador this past week at the podium.
I came from a private school, so at the end of the day, I dealt with a lot of negativity, a lot of hate, a lot of everything I done dealt with already year after year. I came from a small private school. All the other kids was going big, you know, Power 5, and they went to big 6A, Texas 6A schools and stuff. I don't see those same kids around. I don't see them excelling in their programs or whatever they're doing. So I've always been against the odds, like, in different ways.
What do you make of that, brother? KJ letting his voice be heard.
Usually when you deal with a private school, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Zach, like, usually pay more money for a private school, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It usually tailored towards what you're doing. A lot of the football teams are better in private schools. Who's a private school for us?
Valor.
Valor. Is Regis considered a private school?
Yeah, Regis is private.
So,
yeah.
So how is that, like, saying I'm behind the eight ball and poor me?
Right, maybe.
If you said I'm from a public school,
right?
Then you could say something like that. Like, for me, it was at Denver South, right? And the DPS, Denver Public Schools.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about a private school. You're talking about, like, having these hard times. And it's like, come on, dude. Like, not everything always has to be a sad, heartfelt story, especially when it's not true. What hard times have you truly became and had to come from? Like, I know everybody goes through their times. Believe me, rich, poor, everybody has an issue going on.
For sure.
But you're trying to, like, build us up to say, like, you just work so much harder than the next person. When you had a father that had a lot of money and you have the chains, the grills, all the shoes you want, you've never had to miss a meal. You never had to worry about the lights being cut off. But yet you're going through some tough times. That's what pisses me off. Because there's a lot of players, a lot of my teammates, a lot of people like myself that went through things like that. And then you're sitting here talking about poor you? That's where I kind of, for me, I get unsettled.
That was so perfectly said. I am going to leave it right where it lies. Get ready for one of our teams in Colorado to be under some bright lights. How bright? We'll talk about that coming up next.